I've discovered in life that when you fail to talk about something really significant, you tend to abuse it. When couples fail to talk about sex in marriage, it tends to be unhealthy and abusive. When people fail to talk about how many children should we have, people tend to end up having more children than they want. When people fail to talk about money in their marriages or in their lives, they tend to abuse it. So what I've hoped that we could do in this series, Moneyology, How to Win at Life with Money, is to just openly, positively talk about money. Now, we're going to talk today about spending. Other people would call it debt, but we're going to be talking about spending. Here's what we're not going to do today. I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. And there are things I'm going to say today that are my conclusions. And I'll try to tell you when I do that, and you are free to disagree. But I want to help you as your pastor and as a teacher to come to a place where you understand that money is not a bad thing. Money is not, I don't love money, but I love what money lets me do. I don't love money, but I love the fact that money helps me provide a home for my family, right? I don't love money, I just love what it can do. The scriptures say this, he who loves money will never have enough. The foolishness of thinking that wealth brings happiness. The more you have, the more you spend, right up to the limits of your income. So what is the advantage of wealth, except perhaps to watch as it runs through your fingers? The man who works hard sleeps well, whether he eats little or much. But the rich must worry and suffer insomnia. A great theologian, Ann Lander, said this, most of us would be willing to pay as we go if we could just finish paying for where we've been, right? We love spending. Spending is, let's just be honest, spending is fun, isn't it? Bunch of liars. Not me. I just don't love to spend at all. I love it. I love spending. Now, so let's just ask ourselves this question. What kind of spender are you? Because we're all spenders of some degree. There are among us those impulse spenders. We spend on impulse. Think of this. We whine and moan and complain and gripe, and some people cuss, but I'm a Baptist and Baptists don't cuss. Can I hear an amen? At the government for overspending, right? Throw the bums out, right? I heard that one. But in light of the fact that we Americans put per year $2 trillion on our credit cards, at $7,404 a person, we might not ought to be pointing the finger at Washington. It may not be the White House. It may be my house that's the problem. Can I hear an amen? I'm just saying. I love to condemn the sins of others, don't you? It makes me feel so spiritual. But we've all been impulse buyers. Just look in your closet. I've seen people wear Garth Brooks t-shirts. I'm thinking, you were drunk at the concert. Seriously? You bought that, you wear that in public, right? I mean, you know that when you go into a concert or whatever, a couple of years ago, remember the Eagles were in town? We went to see the Eagles. I'm a big Eagles fan, so we got to see the Eagles come out. There are tables and tables and tables of swag. I wouldn't put that stuff on my dog. But anyone in the concert business knows that there are hundreds of thousands of dollars to be made per concert if you got a good act. Because we're impulse buyers. We wouldn't go home and think about it and buy it, but on the impulse we would. Some of you are in trouble today with money because you've been an impulse buyer. But I'll tell you, my experience teaches me that the most susceptible spender among us is what I call the revenge spender. You see, long before money is a problem, it is an emotional need unmet, expressing itself negatively. Let me say that one more time. Long before debt is a money problem, it is an emotional need unmet, expressing itself negatively. I've seen couples go through divorce. You've seen, remember, I saw a video this morning. How many more videos in Nashville are we going to make about a jilted woman selling her boy's stuff? Cutting it up, sawing it up, throwing it overboard. Whoop-a-dee-doo. Right? But when you feel hurt, a lot of times we try to lash out at someone to hurt them back by spending money we don't have to get stuff we don't want, to beat up someone who no longer wants us. That's smart, isn't it? And then we say, oh, Lord, forgive me. And the Lord says, help me, please. Right? Had a little plastic surgery. Cut up those things so that when you are emotionally distraught, you feel powerless. And so I'll teach you, and then you become the one who has to pay the price. Almost anything you do on impulse will be against your own self-interest. How about this one? Now, this one I don't want to talk about very much because not that I've ever been guilty of this one. There are among us what I call special interest spenders. My hobby is my God. Right? Now, I have a Harley. And this would probably go for any motorcycle person, I don't know. But if you have a Harley, you cannot just have the bike. Can I hear an amen? And by the way, while I'm on this subject for the brothers among us, and the sisters, excuse me, I'm sorry. My motorcycle instructor was a woman. She was awesome. I didn't even know a woman could hold a motorcycle up. She was awesome. But this is free. I'm not charging you for this. If you don't have a Harley, don't wear the shirt. I'm just saying. I'm telling you what other people love won't tell you. You say, well, I'm wearing the shirt anyway. I don't blame you, but I'm just telling, saying. But if you do have a Harley, you got to have the shirt. You got to have a jacket. Huh? And a leather jacket, praise the Lord! And a helmet and 3 pair of gloves, 1 for each season. You say, what about the 4th season? We don't ride in the winter, dudettes. People ask them, no, you riding? No, I'm not stupid. I rode a motorcycle. You fill in the blank. But I have a PFC motorcycle. It's paid for, right? Paid for motorcycle. If my motorcycle's sitting in my garage, but I'm thinking, boy, if that thing had a payment attached to it, every time I would look at it in the winter when I cannot ride it, I'd go, oh, it hurts, right? But you know, I mean, there's all kinds of, it doesn't have to just be motorcycle, it can be anything. Crochet, scrapbooking, get a life, okay? There are actually stores for people who want to go scrapbooking. Really, get you a motorcycle. You want to live. You want to get some motion in that ocean. Ride an engine. You know, I mean, seriously. I'm a special interest spender. Boy, you can spend a lot of money on your hobbies, right? Well, I work hard and I deserve it. No, 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 you don't. You deserve to die and go to hell. That's what you deserve. But see, I've been to Baptist seminary, so I can say that. I'm ordained. I'm legal. You can't say that to people. I mean, but seriously, I don't know about you. Any day above dirt is a good day. I'm living on grace, man. I'm living on the good will of God. And I do not want to look skyward and say, well, I deserve this new car. You deserve to walk is what you deserve. And then there are the status-seeking spenders, right? These are the people who buy things they don't need with money they don't have to impress people they don't even like. Just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant of the lender. Now, most helpful things I have found in my own life as I've tried to help other people is say, what drives you to spend? Because there's something under the engine here. There's something under the emotional motivation. Now, as there can be something negative driving us emotionally, because spending is about emotion. I agree with Dave Ramsey. 80% of money is in the head, not in understanding the numbers. Maybe that's even higher. But here's what I have found. That is something negative can drive me emotionally in how I deal with money. Something positively can drive me so that money can be a good thing. So here are three things that I think if you want to raise the hood of your life and say, what is it? What are the healthy attitudes that I can develop or understandings or way of thinking that I can develop that will help me spend well? I think there are at least three. First one is an understanding of the power of delayed gratification. If you were to say to John, say Johnny's 4 years old, and you were to say to Johnny, Johnny, here's 4 cookies. And then say, Johnny, right here is the bag of cookies. Now, Johnny, right now you can have 4 cookies. And before you say this, you would say, here are the 4 cookies. You can have those right now. But if you'll wait 3 hours, you can have the whole bag. Before you say the option, the 4 would be gone. Right? I mean, we're a little bit like our dogs in the way we often have this, you know, we got to have it now, got to have it now, got to have it now. I have this little dog. Her name is Harley. And she's the sweetest thing. Oh, she's sweet. She loves. But you let any amount of food get between you and her, she'll take you down. She would gnaw your arm off for a treat. And oftentimes we're that way. I want it now, I want it now, I want it now, I want it now. And so Johnny wants the 4 cookies. He's 4 years old. He wants 4 cookies now. You know what? I don't blame him. He doesn't have a concept of waiting and delayed gratification. But when Johnny's 40 years old, and he doesn't understand the difference between 4 cookies now and the whole bag in 3 hours, Johnny's got a big problem. And oftentimes, Johnny becomes my problem. Because Johnny now wanders into my life buying my goods and services for which he cannot pay. And now Johnny's immaturity becomes my problem. Amen. And everyone's problem. So, delayed gratification. But remember this, if you give a little, you will get a little. A farmer who plants just a few seeds will get only a small crop, but he who plants much, he will reap much. Financial problems are a major cause. 80% of couples under 30 divorce because of money fights. Brown University in a study recently said couples are more likely to remain happily married when women take an active role in family finances. Amen. By the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but when you got married, your money got married too. You say, well, we keep our money separately. That's where you're going to, real quick. Separate lives. My money is my wife's money. It's our money. And we understand. See, if I practice delayed gratification and Paula doesn't, then I suffer. If she does and I don't, we suffer. You with me? Delayed gratification is a principle that you do not eat your seed corn I was raising the farm during the summers. And I remember so vividly one day when I discovered the corn crib. There were two things in the corn crib, corn and mice. And I'm thinking, this corn cannot be eaten. How in the world? I thought, this is the corn we eat during the winter. I said, it's my uncle. I said, Uncle Henry, what is this? He says, this is our seed corn. I said, well, what is seed corn? He says, when we raise a crop and harvest it, we eat a portion and then we save a portion to plant next year. Seems so simple, doesn't it? I earn an income. I take part of that income. I spend it on my immediate needs and I save some for later. Delayed gratification. I don't have to tell you, spending money's fun. It is so much fun the day you walk into a dealer and you put down cash. Their eyes get so big. They go, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you. I never forget when our daughters were just getting ready to drive. You know, we wanted them to, we were able to help them. And so our philosophy was, I remember Erin, our oldest daughter, we said, you know what, honey, here's the deal. I know you need a car and I'm sick and tired of taking you everywhere in the world. Can I hear an amen? No, I wasn't really. I was just kidding. I didn't mean that. I'm going to take that back. Okay. I said, you need a car, sweetheart. And so I said, here's the deal. Mom and I will buy you your first car if you promise you will never go into debt for a car. And what do you think she said? Absolutely. You'll probably be dead by the time I get another one. So yeah, absolutely. It wasn't too many, a year or so after she got married, that she called Paula and me and said, I want you to meet me at this certain place. And it was a car dealership. And she said, I want you to watch me write a check for cash for my next car. I felt good. Yeah, you can clap. Go ahead. God will forgive you. What does it take? Delayed gratification. You got to save up enough money, right? It's a good thing. And once you live by it, it begins to reward you. Here's the second thing you need to cultivate under that hood, that spending hood. You need to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. Job said this, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I shall have nothing when I die. The Lord gave me everything I had, and they were his to take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, buddy, that is spiritual maturity right there. To understand everything I have is a gift from God. Every day, every moment is a gift from God. They're all his. Every good and perfect gift come down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning, in the book of James. Buy into this, embrace this, and realize that I don't have to hoard and hold on to my money like it's going out of style. There's more money coming, right? You're going to have more money. You don't seem to be very thrilled about that. Oh, God, please don't give any of these people any more money. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. He knows I'm kidding. You don't listen to me anyway, so. I mean, what do you do to a person who just gets up every day grateful? Grateful to be alive. I'm grateful to have two hands and have two legs to stand on. I'm grateful to be able to see and earn my living and do what I love. I have so many reasons to be grateful. But let's also be honest that we are constantly bombarded with a toxic load of lies. You deserve more than you can get. Everyone's got what you have. Yeah, the world is bad. Nobody likes you. You know, and we're constantly trying to impress people. And we only have one person in our life before whom we live our life to impress, and that is Jesus Christ. One Lord, one source, one master donor. An audience of one. Amen? If you can buy into that. You see, I feel sorry for people who don't have any faith because they have no one to thank. I've actually heard, seriously, intelligent people who have degrees from accredited universities say this. I thank my lucky stars. Really? And you think I'm weird because I believe in God. You think you're hot, you're lucky hot rocks. Well, which hot rock are you thinking? Because there are bins and bins and bins and bins and bins of hot rocks up there. And they're all just up there. All by themselves, just created themselves, just up there. Just hanging around, hoping somebody will think them. I think my lucky stars. Right? You know why we don't want to thank God? Because all of a sudden our thank you has a name, has a face. And then we're going to be accountable. That's what we don't want, isn't it? Delayed gratification, attitude of gratitude. And here's a third thing put under that spending hood, and that is a confident certainty. You see, a lot of us are looking for clarity. God doesn't give clarity to anyone that I know of. But he does give certainty. I know what it is to be in need, Paul said. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned in the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything that I ought to be doing through him, Christ, who gives me strength. I'm absolutely, see, life is far more predictable than we want to admit. Money operates on principle far more predictable than we ever want to admit. But it does. Money's predictable. If you don't spend all you make, you'll have some left over. It takes an Einstein to figure this stuff out, doesn't it? No. It's the simple stuff. I was talking with I was getting nervous. It was about a group of about eight people between services after the first service, sitting there talking, and I walked up and they stopped talking. Now that makes me nervous. And I think I have justification, you know what I'm saying? And so we just start talking about this series. And they said, you know, they're younger couples, and said, you know, it's amazing. This one guy says, when I went to UT, one of the first things I had, I saw after I registered for classes, is a big booth wanting to give me a credit card and a T-shirt. Yeah. And he says, you know what? I had no idea what I didn't know. And oftentimes I think that we fail to embrace what we can know about God, life, and money and go after the things we can't know. God, what do you want me to do tomorrow? Now, if you mean by that you want God to give you absolute clarity about every decision you ever make, you're not going to get it. Do you want certainty about his love, his faithfulness, and his character, his nature, that life is going to work the way he teaches you it's going to work today, tomorrow, and into the future? Absolutely. I am confident that God will always be who he is in my life and do what he does. Praise God. You see, I serve, amen. Yeah, you have my permission. You break out in spontaneous applause anytime you want to. You see, I know that God is good, generous, loving. He is on my side. He is my defender. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God right now as my advocate attorney, pleading my case constantly to the Father. I'm sorry. I think that's a good deal. All right. Now, that having been said, here's why I want to spend the rest of the time on our talk on. I've printed on here, on your outline, the pledge and the promise. The pledge are 10 things I pledge I'm not going to do. The promise are 10 things the pledge I am going to do. Now, here's what I'd like for you. I want to give you something to hold on to handle. Now, if you want a CD of this service, you get it free. After this is over, you go over there and get it and just pass it on when you're done. You can cut this out, paste it on your mirror, paste it on your husband's forehead if you want to. Put it somewhere where you can just constantly, maybe as a couple, maybe you're going to get married, you think about getting married, this would be a great conversation, wouldn't it? And or just ways in which, because here's what, in this conversation with these couples, he said, it's amazing, I know all this stuff, I just never put it together. So what I've tried to do in this pledge and promise is put some affirmations together that will help you take all this biblical information that we've been discussing here and talking about and put it in a practical daily affirmation so that you can put this, is it just becomes second nature, okay? Now, if this doesn't work for you, here's my, make up your own. Make up your own. Before you start, let me just tell you, it won't take 15 minutes. It'll take a long time to get something that really can get your teeth into. So here's the pledge. Number one, I will not spend all I earn. Make sense? Now, what if you now are spending more than you earn? Well, at least you know. Paul and I talk to couples all the time. They get married. They wake up one day. They've got $100,000 worth of college debt. Well, how did, and they're all upset. How, didn't you know? No. Didn't you ask? No. Well, you're dumb as a stick then, aren't you? Right? So we have the money talk. So I know what I earn. I know what I spend. I'm not going to spend all I earn. You say, well, yeah, but I've got to get out of it. But you know what? You can start the journey today. Amen? Now you know. I pledge I will not spend away my freedom. I will not look at my life as a string of payments. Amen? Listen, I'm going to say this to you. And again, I told you I'm going to say some things that are my opinion. This is my opinion. Don't borrow money to go to college. It was quiet in the first service, too. Oh, my God. Yeah, really? Seriously? Hey, they've done national studies that prove there is no significant difference between the quality of a Harvard BA and the quality of a good state school BA. These are national studies. People are paying $100,000 a year for status, and that is, in Jesus' name, stupid. Boom! Shot that sacred cow. Now, I'm for college. Education's a good thing. But I wouldn't go into debt for one. I didn't. 10 years, just me. Paula put me through college for 10 years. She's a saint. Oh, yeah, you clap for that. I will not spend away my future. Number four, I will not spend to break the boredom. That's like eating, you know, it's like, you know, binge eating. I'm mad at you, I'm mad at God, I'm gonna eat ho-hos. I'm gonna suck a pie through a straw. There you go. I'll go and spend stuff, spend money, that'll show them. Number five, I will not spend to impress. Unless, now there's a caveat to this. Unless we're talking about toothpaste and deodorant. Now, if we're talking about that, that breaks this principle. I will not spend to impress. Now, can I just say this? I say this with the love of my heart. And I'm your pastor. I love you. And you just take this for what it's worth. For all the ladies among us who are worrying about what you wear because you've worn it before, and if you wear it again, all the other women will come together on Facebook and have a fashion faux pas page just at you, you can stop worrying. You know what people are thinking? They're thinking about themselves. They're not thinking about you. Well, he wore those jeans last month. Oh, my Lord. Well, whoop-a-dee-doo. I mean, you only have to wash jeans 3 times a year. Christmas, Easter, and your birthday. It's in the Bible. I am not going to try to impress people by spending money, by what I drive. I drive what fits me and what I can afford. Amen? Yeah. I will not spend to feel better. I know sometimes I feel bad because this is the emotional cycle of how I am. Sometimes I feel bad because I'm disobeying God and the Holy Spirit is trying to correct me. Sometimes I feel bad because just act like a jerk. And when you act like a jerk, you're not going to feel good about it. Money ain't going to fix that. Number 7, I will not spend money when I am angry. I will not, number 8, I will not spend money under pressure. Buy it today. This is the last one. Well, sell that sucker to my brother, and I'll drive it on the weekends. You really want to get freaky? You want to have fun today? Here's what you do. Today, this is number 9. I will not spend without prayer. Go to a car dealership. Do a test drive. Get them all worked up. Just to the point where you sign your name and say, you know what, we Christians, we need to pray about this. Boom! That's the kind of mischief God could bless. Here's another one. This is huge. I will not spend money to buy your love. Parents, if you don't buy me this and this and this and this, and everybody else has it, no, you don't even love me. Well, shit, whatever. Really? No. You don't buy stuff because your kids have thrown a fit. You don't buy stuff because your husband is an immature little boy. Amen. You don't buy stuff to buy love. I used to think you could do that. I used to tell Paula, I said, man, I'd do something, I'd buy her something, and she's, I said, well, look at all this stuff I got you. She says, yeah, but it isn't what you get me, it's just it's how you behave. Shoot. See, we think that we can just throw money at people. So we're raising a generation of kids, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me now, believe me later, that are experience rich and relationship poor. If you think that your children would rather have your presence than your presence, you are blind. A son would much rather have his father engaged in his life than to have a trip to a baseball camp. Oh, yeah. Okay, here's the promise. That was fun, wasn't it? This is going to be even funner. Here's the promise. Number 1, I will tithe everything. Everything. 10%. Time, talent, treasure. I want to say this to you as your pastor. Let me read this. Let me say this and we'll move on. Listen to this. This is about the New Testament standard of giving. Now about the collection of God's people. Do what I told the Galatian church. This is out of 1 Corinthians 16. On the first day of every week, that's what day? Sunday. Each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income. Consistently, proportionately, saving it up so that when I come, I'll have to make no other collections. Here's the deal. Every Christian should tithe. And if you don't tithe, when God teaches you that the minimum of giving is tithing, what you're saying to God is, I have not grown to the place where I can truly trust your principles and your provision. And until you beat that dog and whip that, you're going to put a ceiling on your life. Now, you say, well, Dave, I don't agree with that. Well, then you know what? Fine. You do what you want to do. I've told you what I need to tell you and teach you. I'm just telling you, I'm a happy camper. I'm a satisfied customer. And I've been tithing for 38 years. I started tithing when I made $1.65. Now, that is easy. But when you make a little more money, when you sign a book deal and you get an advance, you look at that and say, I'm not sure the Lord wants me to tithe off of that. But I'd also be doing you a disservice if I left you with the idea what tithing was about money. Tithing is about life. You should be tithing 10% of your time, your talent, pouring out of your life and the life of other people. Listen to this, Proverbs 28. Greed causes fighting. Trusting God leads to prosperity. Trusting God leads to prosperity. I will tithe. I'm going to be generous and pour into the lives of other people constantly. Number two, I will separate need from greed. Greed causes fighting. That's what I just quoted in Proverbs 28. Trusting God leads to prosperity. Now the question is, how do you determine what is need and what is greed? There's a crop of books now in the Christian market of these little pastors who've been writing the philosophy, if you really want to love God, give away everything, move to a third world country, marry an ugly woman with a cow patty hairdo, dress in polyester, and that's how you really love Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, that's stupid. And if you know anyone who's written in these books, which you probably do, you can send them the message for me. Because here's the deal. When I start telling you what is need and greed in your life, if I just say to you, you know what? No one needs to drive a Toyota. You should drive a Yugo. That's God's preferred car. Let's just say we take the worst car out in the parking lot right now. The majority of the world would consider that car a luxury. So when you start figuring out where you should live and what you should do and what you should buy and shouldn't buy, I have to tell you, as far as I'm concerned, it's none of my blooming business. But it is yours. And between you and God, you need to settle this issue. What is need and what is greed? Number three, I will name every expenditure. I will name it, which means I'm going to have to get a budget. I'm going to have to start writing down what I'm spending my money on. And then you'll begin to say, these are emotional purchases. Should I be doing this? Can I do this differently? Now that I know. Listen, ignoring the fact that you are in debt doesn't pay it. Doesn't absolve you from it. It's better to know the truth now, right? Yeah. See, my father's generation believed this. Some of you know this. My father died the day we moved to Nashville 21 years ago to start a church. Been healthy, a sweet guy. I'm firmly convinced that he knew he was sick for months before, but he wouldn't go to the doctor because his philosophy was, when you go to the doctor, you go to the doctor, to the hospital, to the funeral home. And he did. I know an awful lot of people that just ignore the reality of their life and just say, you know what, I'm just going to let my whole world come crashing down and then I'll deal with it. That is not God's will for your life. Maybe it is that your financial situation is not as you want it to be, as it ought to be. But it's going to be profoundly worse if you continue to ignore doing something about it today. So I'm going to name every expenditure. I'm going to cut out the ones that I don't need or don't bless. Number four, I will consume to live, not live to consume. Right? Some of the stuff I have, our bedroom suit, Paul and I've had, 32 or 3 years. I thought, we need a new one. Why? How about a new mattress? I'm up for that. There's just stuff that we've had forever. We don't need another one yet. And when we need another one, we'll buy it. But we're not just going to consume just because it's the new cool thing to do. Right? You understand that all of life is aligned against that principle. Everything you hear, they tell us that we hear and are exposed to over 3,500 different messages in America a day. I don't know if that's true. I don't know who, some little boy named Billy sits there and goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 22, 20. I don't know. But I will say this, everywhere I go, I hear people on TVs and radios and iPods saying, you need this, you need this, you are not enough, throw that away, get a new one. Does it make you feel better? That's why they call cars Integras. Because we don't have any integrity, we're going to get a car to give us our integrity, right? I will provide for my family. I will provide for my family. Here's an amazing thing about men, ladies, that you may not know. When men feel the weight of responsibility of a wife and children, good men grow up. They work hard. I am far more than I ever would have been if I'd stayed single. No doubt in my mind. I worked harder because I had to pay for kids. Braces. I forgot the other day. We've all had braces. Even our dogs have had braces. There's just something about having responsibility that makes you come up to the plate and do more and be more and earn more. I will tell them just about 3 more minutes and we'll be done. I will limit my spending. I will limit my spending. There's some things I'm going to say no to. Number 7, I will spend money for personal growth. Someone came up to after the service and said, hey, here's a great quote. I just read this week. He said, poor people have big screen TVs. Rich people have libraries. I don't know. I got a big screen TV. And I have a library. So I'm a poor rich guy. But I will say this, I spend money to go to conferences, I buy books, I'm reading 5 books right now simultaneously, I buy books on my iPod, on my iPad, on my Kindle, I love reading books, I listen to podcasts, I mean, what a rich day we live in. We can get smarter, but most of it's free. But I'm going to spend money to grow. I'm going to spend money on my future because the smarter I get, the more money I'm going to make. The more money I'm going to make, the more I'm going to be able to bless more people. Number 8, I will spend money for family memories. I'll never forget, my mother passed away about 1.5 years ago, and I never will forget, we had a Waterloo about 3 years after my father died. She called me up to Shoney's in Hendersonville for a personal meeting, and I knew that was not going to be good. My brother had just died. My father died, and about 6 years later, my brother died, and she was going to read me the riot act. I needed to come up and take care of her. So I was ready to get a little rowdy. So she did her. I bought lunch, by the way. If you're going to ream out your kids, please at least buy lunch. So she, you know, I understood. I do. God bless her. I understand she's lonely. I understand. I can't understand the pain. I was a mother. But the one thing I told her that I hope will be productive for you, I said, Mother, I love you. You're my mother. Will always love you. But what you want is you don't want my help. You want intimacy. And I said, that was a choice you made with me when we were children. You cannot ignore me as a child and expect me to be intimate and close to you as an adult. Amen. I tried to say that with love. She was livid. Matter of fact, when she died, we found a note that she had written that day of her interpretation of that conversation. Needless to say, it was not. I heard her. I didn't mean to. But here's what I've learned, and Paula has taught me. If we don't create memories when our children are small, they're not going to be close to us when they're older. You know what we talk about when we get together, our adult daughters? Things we did years ago. Little vacations we took. Now people say, we don't take vacations. We don't celebrate birthdays. Well, you're dumb. I mean, you're dumb as a stick if you don't. I'm saying that with the love of Jesus. Because creating memories is an important thing. In heaven, we're going to have memories. Memories are a gift from God when they're positive. And the last one is, I will invest in that which outlasts me. Or number 9, I'm sorry. I will invest in that which outlasts me. I'm thankful that Paul and I decided to invest our lives in the Church of Jesus Christ in America. We have given, given, and given, and given, and given, and given, gladly given, and every dime we've given, we still have, because it's poured in the lives of people. One thing I like about Facebook, Facebook this week that I used to be his pastor about 24 years ago. He was a young teenage guy, and now he's a worship leader somewhere in a church in America. Yeah. Okay, here's the last one. I will be weird and live debt free. I will be weird and live debt free. God being my helper, I'm going to live on less than I make and pour money into things that will outlast me. I invite you to join me on that journey and see the amazing things our God can do. Let's pray. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to teach us today. Don't let this just be a sermon, just a brief moment that flashes through our memory and is gone. Let this truth find itself down in our soul. May we take these ideas, this teaching from Scripture, and apply it into our lives and build habits that will serve not only us, but our families and the gospel and humanity well. I pray for someone this morning who needs to have the bonds of this debtor mentality broken. I pray in Jesus' name that you will break those mental bonds and that you will create in our hearts an effervescence, a joy, a source of trust and love and in great anticipation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.